Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors talking all things fantasy draft. This week on the show, we reveal the Statesman's top 25 keepers under 22 years old. I'm Doss, but before we get to the great smug man himself, we also have Jono Crockett on board to discuss the list. G'day, Jono.
G'day, Doss. G'day, listeners. How are we all doing today?
And Cam Corns is here as well. Hello, Cam.
G'day, mate. I am pumped because I've done a little bit of research and there are six of your boys in this list. We are going to talk all things Doss boys.
I'm incredibly excited as well, and using a special formula with the Colonel's 11 Secret Herbs and Spices to create a list of young guns that still somehow manages, well, initially to ignore the greatness of the top 10 defender, Bailey Williams, but we will be talking about him soon. It is the gentleman himself, the Statesman.
That's me. I'm looking forward to this pod on a yearly basis, of course. But, yeah, the special formula does rank quite a few different things. Obviously, the year of birth is the most important. So only players that are born 1997 or later are considered to be in the list for this year, getting that under 22. Of course, it deals with their average AFL fantasy score last year. Obviously, their position, how many games they've played, but more importantly, how many tons they've actually scored within those games. So that gives us a beautiful little rating of tons per games. We do cover, obviously, the potential growth, especially on link to their position, their age, so the younger get a bit of a benefit as well. And, of course, positional advantage, because a 90 averaging defender is obviously worth more than a 90 averaging midfielder. So there's quite a few variables that go into that that gives us a special ranking formula. The players we're talking about today are ranked from 60 points all the way to 240 points. So there's a fair bit of variables around there. I will say I do not consider players that have just been drafted or have not played AFL games, because we like to actually see them play at the highest level. There is a lot of players that come through the system that have had magnificent junior numbers but never actually achieve that at AFL level. Now, some of it might be role, some of it might be deficiencies in whether it's speed, agility, or skill level that don't see them actually reach that potential that they've shown in juniors. But most importantly, they need to pass the eye test, which is actually, yes, they can play at this level. There have been plenty of players that have been drafted at number one that actually haven't delivered on the stage, but all the indications are leading into that year is that they were the best player in the draft. And that's a fact, no matter how good. Yes, there'll be some great players that come out of the 2018 draft, but until we see them, until we see a ton on the scoreboard to show that they can really score, we don't really consider them in this list. So, boys, are we ready to start?
I think we're nearly ready to start. I'm looking forward to some of these calls. I reckon these podcasts are always the best to listen to in a year or two, and yes, you really figure out what calls you made wrong. And I, you know, I had to listen back to the last year's one, which was actually a bit different. It was 23 under 23. And there was a call, I want to quote Jono and figure out which player he was talking about last year. To me, he's like a Lenny Hayes Mark II.
Wow.
Which player was he talking about then? Came in at number 20 last year. It was Luke Dunstan. Get around
wow.
him, the Lenny Hayes Mark II.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, he would have been considered in that list because of the magnificent finish he had in 2017. So he was pumping out tons, but yeah, he's not even part of the 22 now, the best 22 if we look at St Kilda. So we might get underway, but we'll talk about two players that just missed out stats-wise. Sam Petrescu-Seaton from Carlton. He's actually only ever scored one ton out of his 40 games, so it just sort of left his data a little bit dry. And Jade Gresham, who we expect he might actually have a really big 2019 with some discussed midfield time, but also the point, he's only ever scored two tons out of his 60 games, so it's only every 30 games you're going to get a ton out of him in his data at the moment. It may be a little bit role variant. We understand that, but his career average is only at 66 after his 60 games. So it is a bit light on when we're talking the score, and he is a top ager in this. So we will start now at number 25. And I will say the DOS man himself actually went onto Wikipedia, changed someone's date of birth so he could just slip this boy in to the top 25 under 22. And that's Bailey Williams at the Bulldogs, born in 97. Average for 2018 was 79.8. Obviously, we know he's a defender. He has only scored the one ton in his 32 games, which is a bit of a hindrance. But, of course, he gets a little boost because he's a defensive and picked up in the mock draft. Probably a little bit early for his position at 25 under 22, but at 104 by the DOS man himself.
Yes, very huge on Bailey Williams this year again. And I just think he's a jet. And he's improved his average every single year since being in the league. In 2016, he only averaged the 50 fantasy points, up to 62 in year two. And year three last year, it was up to 79.8. He's probably best position, in my opinion, is one that he may not even get to play consistently at the Dogs, and that's in the midfield, which we've obviously seen Beveridge have so many options in there. It's hard to throw him in there. But he did have the one ton against Essendon, 114. He racked up the marks. He didn't lay a tackle that game, so 12 marks. But he's got an awesome kick-to-handball ratio, and I think he maintained that when he did actually get a go in the midfield. In round 15, he played a bit in the midfield and still managed to hit the scoreboard. I think long term, he's just a really nice keeper. And I was surprised that he wasn't in the initial 25 based on your formula there, Statesman. But yeah, just really big on Bailey Williams. And I think this year he'll be taking another step up again.
I think the only hindrance really in this data, to be fair, is he's actually going in to that fifth season with only 32 games, but only one ton there. Although you were talking about how well his ton was, it's only the one, so that certainly hurts him. So moving on to number 24, Jack Bowles from the Gold Coast, a year younger than Bailey Williams. We'll accept that he's only defender status when we talk about ultimate of football, but he has only played the 27 games for his one ton. But looks like he's got some midfield time coming up in the Gold Coast cam.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's the allure that he can be a key cog in that sort of rebuilding midfield at the Suns. You know, they've cleared out so many players over the years, and it's seen them fall towards the bottom of the ladder. But now that they're rebuilding, they've brought in a couple of mature age recruits. I think they see Bowes as sort of that person that they can hold for the next 10 years. Don't forget, this kid has been in the Gold Coast system since he was 13.
Wow.
So he was identified as a talent way back when, and he's been there for ages. He's not going to be one of those players that leaves and goes to another club, experiences a different role. He'll be there forever, and I think he's going to be a great midfield talent.
Beautiful. Number 23, he probably should be up on the list a little bit higher, but he really hasn't delivered those big scores we're expecting. With only 2 tons out of his 51 games, but there's a lot of talk, as there are with many players, that he's going to have a bit more midfield time in 2019, and that's Callum Mills at the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, also don't forget he's had a couple of injury affected years, so not getting out on the park, and Jared McVeigh, I think, is also stopping him from taking over that role. We have seen Jared McVeigh as that fantasy stud for 10, 15 years now. So once he moves out of the way, I think Mills does take that McVeigh role, and he'll be a defender for his whole career. Might get the DPP, but you won't be playing him as that mid. So you look to see him get that 85-plus average for the rest of his career with that run through the midfield, and they're starting to build a nice little midfield as well, the Sydney Swans as well.
Be interesting to see whether he actually retains that defender status. I think if he was to keep that, then I think he should be a lot higher up on the list. But if he comes in to be a midfielder averaging between the 100 and 105, he might be a classier footballer than he is a fantasy magnet, to be honest. So It's an interesting future for Callum Mills, very highly rated in the early days. So moving on to number 22, I should say with Callum Mills, drafted by myself pretty early, actually, at 71 with a defender status, but expecting a much higher output in 2019. Moving on to 22, another highly touted player drafted in the same year, but we really haven't seen the figures from him. Played 53 games. He has delivered us 3 tons, but that's still pretty light on compared to some higher in this list. But it's Darcy Parrish from the Essendon Footy Club.
Yeah, so Parrish had one of the best rookie seasons we've actually seen from a top 10 pick since 2004. I think he's in maybe 12th position overall for those numbers and really exploded out the blocks. But that was when, I believe that was when Essendon had the drug saga back then. Was that year?
Correct.
And he was the sort of the only sole midfielder in there. The Essendon players came back. He sort of struggled to adjust a bit. And then he played VFL for a large chunk of last season there. So I just think, I'm not sure if he's quite ready with the arrival of Dylan Shield to get that role in the midfield that will boost his scoring, which will mean for the next couple of years we might still have him as a forward status, which is maybe better for his value. But I'm not even sure if he can reach his heights being at Essendon with the fact that the age gap they've got now. They've got some other young mids coming through as well. You've got Langford that needs more time in there. I mean, Kobe Much was an even bigger fantasy studded as a junior as well. Dylan Clark, there's a few other guys in there that could still sort of rise up. And he, if he doesn't take his opportunity this year, it might be at another club, I think, that he gets his opportunity. What do you think there, Statesman, as well?
Well, I think we saw with Darcy Parrish last year, he was playing in the guts a fair bit, but he just didn't have the tank to run out the full game. You'd see him go through a half with on 86, and then he'd score 3 more points in the second half of the game. So they like him through the midfield. He just needs to build that tank. For me, Darcy Parrish, and I'm very hot on him. And they've got a lot of those mid-sized midfielders that run through there. You got Stringer, Orazio, those types. So he still can hold that forward status for me as well. I'm hot on Darcy Parrish this year.
And taken by Stevie Fizz at 128 in the mock draft. And I suppose at the end of the day, he looks like value, and especially when we're talking keeper-wise. But a redraft league, it's a little bit interesting and quite risky at this stage until we see the evidence of a bit more scoring. Now, moving up to 21 is a young fellow actually drafted only the previous year. So only 1 year of football, but actually getting a ton in his first season. And I will say not even Dustin Martin got a ton in his first season of AFL fantasy scoring. So a bright future for this young man. He actually slipped down the draft order because of a heart problem. Many stating that he could have been the number one draft pick originally. And that's Jaden Stevenson at the Collingwood Football Club.
And so it's quite interesting with Stevenson. He comes in and he wins the Rising Star in that first year after slipping down that draft order. And you have to think that, well, this kid can really play. He's playing in a successful Collingwood forward unit, which is made up of him, Will Hoskin-Elliott, and Josh Thomas and a few others. But you think he plays like someone who could play on the wing. He's got a great athletic frame. He kicked a bunch of goals in his first year. How dangerous can this kid be going forward? Like, for me, I think he's probably going to average close to 80 if Collingwood are successful, and that's only his second year. Statesman, to your point, like, only Dusty has scored better in that first year. He's going to be brilliant going forward.
The problem in a keeper, though, do you think his scoring is going to take a huge leap in the next few years? I would have thought maybe he's, like, going to be a stash option in your keeper because the scoring really is not going to be there for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years, I would have thought, because he's going to be more of that just goal-kicking forward because he is so dangerous in front of goals and the speed. I don't think he'll be able to score, get in a scoring position for quite some time. I'd be much happier probably taking a few of the guys we've already mentioned than him in terms of a keeper league.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more in regards to Darcy Parrish, Callum Mills, and probably even Bailey Williams. But as far as a forward goes, and we've only really talked about, I guess, Darcy Parrish there, who won't, my guess would be he won't retain his forward status after this year. Jaden Stephenson is going to keep his forward status for a few more years. And I genuinely think he can go 80. And I reckon an 80 forward is pretty valuable.
I think at the end of the day, and I agree, if it was a dynasty league, so you're retaining 30 players out of a list of 40, it makes a lot more sense. But he's on that data sheet. So getting that ton actually put him up there. And that's the reality. So he's thereabouts in that age group. So the data doesn't lie to us. He wasn't drafted in the mock draft. And I think that actually reflects probably where he is when we're talking in the short term. But there's not too many first-year players that actually get his result that are sitting in the forward pocket when it comes to overall data. So it's be interesting to see what happens to him. If he does become a wing and forward pocket player, so retain his forward status, he's going to get a lot of the pill because he seems to attract it and he's got that burst pace. So moving on to another player who was not drafted in the mock draft, and that is a ruckman in Tim English, who has only actually played 9 games, but he's already delivered us a ton. And he's actually delivered a few other good scores as well. We hear quite a few players at the Bulldogs talk about his unique talent and the potential marking skills that can turn a game of footy. So Tim English from the Bulldogs, top age in this group, but certainly has some scoring potential and hopefully a role full-time this year.
Yeah, very excited about Tim English going forward as well. Only been a keeper myself and a very humble brag there. But Tim English, I think he goes with the formula I think that me and Cam are definitely looking for. I'm not sure about the other two here, but of the future sort of modern ruckman that just doesn't necessarily need the hitouts to be a big scorer. So he actually only scored 20% of his fantasy average from hitouts last year. So that was incredibly low. Obviously, he only did play the 9 games there and averaged around the 67 mark. But I really want those sort of players that can really hit their straps average-wise without needing the hitouts. And yeah, I think Tim English has a huge future and they've sort of already been rumblings that he is going to be that number one mantle even from this year. So, you know, I'm a little bit tentative as to whether he can really break out massively this year. But going forward, he's going to be I'm just going to be keeping him for years and years and years in my keeper league. Very happy to have him on my list.
Can I just say, as far as the data goes, I found a hidden column in the sheet that was basically a one of Dos Boy's column, and it's a negative 10 points, so he could have been higher, but he's hashtag one of Dos Boy's. So.
Now, I think there is a level to the percentage of hitouts where it actually becomes a negative for the player. So you're not actually going to be a ruckman and get the position of number one ruckman unless you can actually hit to advantage to your midfielders. So there is that point of going, well, a Sean Darcy is at 50%. I think you talked about him and Billy Longa were the number, around that mark. And then you've got Tim English and you're saying, well, we celebrate that he's 20%. Maybe the mid-30s is about the mark because they're actually still getting enough success in the ruck to actually retain their position.
So Brody Grundy, 33.6% to your point. So they can still manage to get a decent amount of hitouts. Even Gawn sort of surprised me. I thought Gawn's would be very high. Gawn's percentage was only around 41%. So there's people ahead of him. Jared Witz is around the same. Sam Jacobs is one that's, you know, 44%. That's why I think the sort of, in this list, it seems like some of the dinosaur ruckmen really are up there though. So it's like you've got the Aaron Sandilands is 52%. You've got Sam Jacobs, 45%. And it just, those guys just don't excite me as fantasy prospects. And we're going to talk about Sean Darcy later on, but Tim English excites me a lot more, a guy that can gather the footy around the ground than a guy who can just get bulk hit outs.
So if they're not young and they don't wear short shorts, they don't excite you. Okay, so moving on to number 19. So we're getting inside the top 20 now. We're looking for a player that has got a bit of fantasy chops and a bit of the buzz about him. This is based on small data, though, is the issue at the moment. But even in salary cap, people were talking about this fine young gentleman. But within 41 games as a defender status player, he has given us 3 tonnes. So averaging a tonne every 13 games is not a bad way to start a career. With a career average in the 60s, but averaged 73 last year, is Wayne Miller up from Adelaide.
Yeah, well, initially he started off as a forward, and I remember a couple of years ago, Statesman, that you actually predicted him for the Rising Star Award in, I think, our actual footy prediction. So, started off as that small, crumbing forward, but then you had Charlie Cameron, Eddie Best to compete with. They've thrown him in the half-back line where he's really flourished, used his pace to burn to get that ball inside 50 to the likes of Walker, Jenkins and that, and he hasn't really had much competition from Seesman, Brody Smith and Laird, and that he's sort of just made it his own. And like you said, salary cap, and he's a bit of a prospect there, so I'm not as hot on him, but he's certainly one who can maintain that defender status for a long time, and I think you'll get him as a value pick.
You know what really excited me about him, and I've been hot on him all off season, but the last two games of the year where Brody Smith really came back from his ACL, he scored 91 and 101.
That's why I said he hasn't had much competition from those guys.
Yeah, correct. Like, it's really not going to affect his scoring, hopefully. So, yeah.
Well, they chucked Seesman on the wing because Miller was playing that role.
Yeah.
And drafted at 106 by Christian from the extended bench in the mock draft, but obviously doesn't wear short enough shorts. But the next man does at number 18. Being Andrew Brayshaw from Fremantle. We're all hot because of Lachie Neale's departure and, of course, some injuries happening at Freo at the moment. He's played 17 games, given us 1 tonne, and, of course, he's one of Doss's boys, drafted at 117 by the great man himself.
So I think Andrew Brayshaw, apart from being Doss's boys, he probably could have been higher if the data allowed for it, but unfortunately it doesn't because he hasn't scored that many tons. But you look at, you compare the data to Clayton Oliver in the same time, and it's actually pretty much like for like. And so you think going into his second year, he's probably going to, potentially trend the same way. And we all know that Clayton Oliver went absolutely gangbusters in his second year. So, for me, he could be a top 10 on this list. And he'll probably be there next year when we run the same pod.
And also, old Ross the Boss came out and said he's starting 3 midfielders. He wants his Fife, Mundy and Brayshaw. So, happy days.
Yeah, it's the time and ground, isn't it? He's clearly going to get a bump there. And he's elite. His fitness is so elite. With the list, Statesman, I think last year you might have mentioned, or I'm not sure if it was in your list or in potentially Footy Rhino's list, before that there was sort of a weighting put post the list is made, and then after that you put a weighting towards, I don't think it's in this one, but the weighting towards whether or not you would trade that pick in a keeper league. Like, you want to be the pick above it, you would trade, below. So I didn't really explain that very well.
No, but it's a really good question, and I understand where you're coming from. Footy Rhinos was more working through who they would take. So I've gone pure data. They've gone pure how they feel about the player and where they perceive them to get to. So I've gone on a basic that the data doesn't lie. Even when it's called data, it still doesn't lie.
Because is that a bit flawed, the fact that he's played the one? I suppose, like you're saying, you're not taking into the account, but is it a bit flawed considering he's only played one season? So, of course, he's not going to average a massive amount after that 1 year.
He's only been able to prove what he has proven so far. So this is why it's important to follow through with the formula. It does give him a bump because he's younger. It does give him a bump because he's got a higher potential benefit growth coming from him. But he has also only given us a certain amount. So there is a younger player, someone of the same age that is ranked higher. Now, they've done it because they've actually delivered a bit more. Now, that's through opportunity, that's through the positional rankings and all that type of stuff. But it's fine for us to say right now, he is equivalent to Clayton Oliver, but at the moment, he is yet to deliver that second year that Clayton Oliver does. Let's see if that happens. If it does, then he obviously shoots up the ranking. But okay. For him, purely and simply, to give us 17 games to be actually in the top 20 for a long-term keeper is actually a positive, because he actually hasn't delivered enough for us yet to be massively hot. But the signs are good, aren't they?
Oh, very good.
He looks like he can play the level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the data only goes, it's only the information they've given us, and it's the only way that the formula could work is dealing with the facts, not dealing with the potential.
And to be fair, I think there's only two players on here that have played one season, right?
Correct.
So it's still very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to number 17, actually there's three, because here's another one that was drafted last year. He was the number one pick. The difference here, he played all 22 games and gave us 2 tons, even though his overall average was lower, but he's shown the massive scoring potential. He was undrafted in the mock, but certainly one of the keepers for the long term, and that's Cam Rayner for Brisbane.
Yeah, I really like what this guy put out in his first year. As you said, he had the 2 tons in his first year. Look, he's built the same. He's the same height as Isaac Heaney, so he's a mid-sized type mid-forward. I think when Zorko ends up retiring the next couple of years, Zorko is now over 30, he is that prototype midfielder. He's going to be in the guts, who can play forward, kick goals. He wins his own ball. He tackles, so... I can see him being a Zorko Mark II for the Brisbane Lions for a very long time, and we all know what Zorko's done, especially since he was late to his footy career.
And he was likened to Dustin Martin on getting drafted. So looking at those data, he actually averaged 12 points less than Dustin Martin in his first year. Dustin played 21 games, Cam's played 22, but Dustin didn't score a ton.
No.
In his first season. And Cam's maybe at the moment showing a ceiling, but not as much consistency. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out in his career.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on to number 16, a man we're expecting a massive jump from. There is talk that he's moving into the midfield. Seems like there's going to be about 23 players at this club rotating through that midfield in any given week, which is interesting, seeing they've only got 22 that can actually start, but we'll see what happens there. But a highly talented player who's got defender status, because that's where he's played most of his career. 38 games for 2 tons, which is not a bad start being a defender. He got drafted 114 by We Got Big Cox, and that's Andrew McGrath.
Yeah, to be honest, I've been given this guy to talk about, but I'm less hot on him than a lot of people, Andy McGrath. And it's probably because in the off-brand fantasy classic, I've started within the last couple of years. And I've been, obviously, when you have a player in your team, you tend to watch them pretty closely. Andy McGrath, I nicknamed Andy McGhost, because he can just disappear so often on the field. And even playing defense, even playing midfield, I think he's one of these players that is going to consistently be... And I think he will get there one day to be an incredible fantasy player. So that is why I have no quarrel with where he is on the list. But I think regardless of if he plays this mid-time, we're seeing he doesn't have this little X factor of wanting to get the ball. And I want to introduce a concept later with somebody that missed out, so I won't step on that territory too much. But there's something that Andy McGrath lacked that really steps him up to the next level of just really desiring the footy. I saw at times last year, he'd just be standing in the back pocket wide open and he does the sacrificial lead. That's not what you want from a fantasy player. That's what you want from a really good footballer that understands space, but it's not a guy that really wants to rack up big numbers.
Doss, I'm really trying hard to like you, but I just want to go hashtag off-brand for a second. So firstly, it sounds like you've taken him 2 years on the trot. So First year, you've got him as a rookie, which obviously would have had a little bit of a price tag because he was picked very early in the draft. In fact, number one. So he was the highest priced rookie, but he actually delivered you an average of 71 as a rookie first year. And forgive me, but you're complaining about that as a defender?
No, actually,
no,
I recall.
No, so you're not complaining about that. So what you're complaining about is that you've paid for an hashtag off-brand, a salary cap competition for a second yearer. You've paid the value of 71 average. Maybe it's yourself you need to be cross with, not Andy McGrath, who was only playing his second year of AFL football. And with very few exceptions, one of them being Clayton Oliver, not many of them exceed their first year. He actually did because he raised his career average. But anyway, Doss, I'm really trying to like you, but don't bag a bloke for your bad decisions.
I'm not. I just don't think he wants the. I don't think he wants to rack up disposals
Doss,
enough.
Stop. Just stop. Have you seen the training videos this year? So Essendon has been putting out some fantastic training videos, and he's in every single one getting the football. He's okay. Crushing it at training.
He must be so good. I saw a photo they kept using with him without a neck. I don't know what was supposed to be so attractive to show. He was so bulked. It was just like him without a neck. Did you guys see that? Is it?
And Doss, I'll leave this segment with this part. Hashtag, you're Dunstan.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Okay, moving on to number 15. The data gets him there. I'm not so convinced, to be honest, but 3 tonnes out of 36 games is a fair effort starting your career. He was undrafted in the mock, and probably a good reason why, and that's Powell Pepper.
So 74.6, that's his time on ground, and it's actually comparable to Wines and Rocky and the rest of the Port Adelaide midfield. And we know we've talked about this ad nauseum in regards to how they need to probably change that going into this year. What was exciting to me this week was Ken Hinckley coming out and saying that at the AGM, I think it was at, for Port Adelaide, he came out and said, we are not going to play a boring style of football anymore. We're going to attack. It's like, well, great, you should be attacking from the start, but it's good to have that out in the public. But I think that potentially flows into a higher time on ground for some of the key players, including Sam Powell Pepper. He's done something that excited me, I guess, for this season as well, is that he's come back leaner. So he's a pretty stocky kid, right? He's built in the same model as your Ollie Wines, but he's come back probably a few kilos lighter and increased his running load before coming into his pre-season, right? So he worked real hard in the off-season. We know Ollie Wines is going to be missing for the first 3 to 4 weeks, and I think that's just the opportunity. And think about the players on the list, right? So on this list that we've talked about, a lot of it comes down to opportunity. I think this gives him the opportunity to showcase his fantasy wares, but also his skill on the ball without the ball there. And, you know, Statesman always talks about the third-year breakout. Yeah, it's time. I reckon it's worth taking a punt.
Considering Hinckley, Hinckley said they were going to play an exciting brand of football the previous year as well, and look how well that turned out.
Very true. Moving on to number 14, another third-year breakout potential for hashtag one of his boys, drafted at 117 by Doss, is Hugh McCluggage.
Yes, 3 tonnes in his third year of AFL football, including also about half a dozen 90s in 2018 as well. So really shows what his scoring potential can be. I think there was 120 or 130 in one of those tonnes. So he has got the ceiling. He's got the skills. He's building upon every year. It's just a shame he's a mid only this year. We all thought he was going to retain that forward status. But I think if you are starting up a new keeper league, he might be a little bit forgotten. So you might be able to get him a little bit later. And he's going to be an excellent player for years to come. Really loving what McCluggage is doing there at the Brisbane Lions.
When it comes to a keeper or even potentially a redraft, him actually losing his forward set, it just means you get great value with someone that can potentially skyrocket this year. There's no doubts about that. So moving on to number 13, we go back to Port Adelaide for a top age boy that probably played much better in his second season than he did in his third. A career average of 72 as a defender is a good way to start a career, but only an average of 60 last year. He's given us 3 tons out of his 40 games, and it's Ryan Burton.
Yeah, and we might not be giving Ryan Burton the respect he might deserve this preseason, I think. He sat 9th overall last year in the 23 under 23, and that was ahead of Connor Blakely, Jack Steele, Jesse Hogan, and Toby McLean, just to name a few there. So if he gets back to his best at Port, I think he could rise up the list a lot. And the fact that he's sitting even here based on your formula is probably a really good suggestion that is he possibly a really massive buy low candidate in a keeper league? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of it's very speculative based on what he can do at Port. But if he's anything like he was in Hawthorn in that first year, and I think last year was largely due to role, they brought Sicily was now a permanent defender last year. And I think he's potentially one with the kicking duties as well. There's just so much upside with Ryan Burton that I think potentially he's a great target in a keeper league to, trade for.
And picked up by Warney at 103 in the mock draft. And now to a man who I rated the pick of the draft, to hashtag my boy Ados yet again, and that's Jacob Hopper from the GWS.
Yeah, he's been an absolute standout of the preseason this year, and when you consider, I guess, the juxtaposition between him and Taranto, there's probably a lot of people that are really hot on one and sort of forgetting the other. And I think that means that not only is he probably value, but he's probably as much of a stayer as Taranto in a keeper league as for the next probably 8 years, which is pretty unreal. And thanks to the departure of, Dylan Scheel, I think you'll see his time on ground increase. It wasn't stellar last year. But Statesman, you've outwardly said that he may average a ton this year. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if I was to pick one out of him or Taranto, I would always go Taranto first because I think Taranto's got more to him. But Hopper is a class midfielder who, yes, we've discussed that fact that at the end of the day, there's probably not other positions for him. That's where he's going to live. But he's going to play that inside role. He's going to play that inside role very, very well.
The only thing that I'm maybe a bit concerned about is that I don't think we've seen a true ceiling yet.
Yep.
So he's averaged 3 tons, none over 120. I'm still waiting to see that bar get set, but until that's set, I'm a bit cautious, I guess.
We saw in his first game where he got 30-odd possessions, and once Callum Ward goes, I think he'll take that role, and then you've got Hopper, Taranto, Coniglio, and Kelly is the awesome foursome. So,
geez, that's good.
Absolutely. Now, moving on to number 11, another selection by Doss. Geez, you go for the under-22s, don't you? This one at pick 157, and it's the Carlton forward himself, Charlie Curnow. And we need to give this man some credit. Played 44 games. He's delivered us 5 AFL fantasy tons already.
Yeah, and if he actually gets some help in that midfield without Doherty and the likes not getting injured, he can be an absolute megastar centre half forward. He's 194 centimetres. He has played a little bit in the guts. I liken him to a Nick Riewoldt. He can take the pack mark. He can kick the goals. If he gets that elite running up and going, then watch out AFL fantasy world, because Charlie Curnow is just going to be smashing it just like Nick Riewoldt did in previous years. That's how much I like him. And I think with their midfield, they just don't have that polish yet, but they've got some young blokes in Walsh and Dow and the like. So give them a couple of years and they can be right up there, and Charlie Curnow will be leading the pack.
And beautiful. Moving into our top 10 and starting off is a midfielder from Brisbane, Jared Berry, who's been highly rated early through his career, and when he got a bit of time in the midfield, he really did impress. 35 games for 4 tons already. Drafted at 166 by Christian from the extended bench, so that's a great value pickup right through. So top 10, we're in, Jared Berry.
Yeah, he's got that Nat 5 frame I've been speaking about. He's built his muscle over the last few years in the league, won the 3K time trial recently at Brisbane, and he's also done in the last couple of years that defensive mid-role, which we often see from guys that potentially the coach may see as that future leader in the midfield to do his role as a defender before moving into the ball-winning role, and maybe another year away before he moves into being the purely dominant ball winner with the tackling as well. But this year he still might be used for defensive roles, which may limit him a little bit. But long term, Jared Berry's got star potential written all over him.
Beautiful. Continuing on through the top 10. Now, this is a person, when I put the data in, I was quite surprised he got this high. But at the end of the day, he's played 40 games. He is a defender, and he scored 5 tons for us. That's actually quite incredible. So early in his career, that he is tonning up every 8 games for us. So obviously he has some growth. He has the benefit of being a defender. He has moved club with promise of a bit midfield time, but let's expect him to be on the halfback flank. And that's Ryan Clark at Sydney Swans.
Oh, I was really surprised that he, you know, was up so high in my data.
Surprised he's not number one.
I found another hidden column. Another hidden column. Sydney modifier for Staten. And it's plus 20. So no wonder he was up so high. You absolute scrub. But genuinely, the kid's good, right? So he, again, those 3 tons, playing as a defender, moving into... And I don't know about you guys, but everyone expected him to break out last year. Like, everyone expected that to be his year. And he didn't. But maybe it's this year. Come on, guys. As a mid at Sydney.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Look, great pickup by We Got Big Cox. Drafted him at 174. And because there was the expectation of a breakout and it actually didn't eventuate, he's gone down in everyone's rankings. But if he does deliver this year, and that data says that he's quite a good player, I just don't think he lived up to what our expectations were last year. Moving on to number 8, this is our highest rank first-year player from last year, and it's James Warple from Hawthorn. Being forward status, he's only played the 9 games. He's given us the 1 ton. There was no Tom Mitchell is out benefit. This is just the data that dragged him up this far. But that only adds to the potential of him having a fantastic year this year, let alone be massive in the future. James Warple.
Yeah, he sort of just popped out of nowhere in that Hawthorn team, and was just a real live wire for him. As you said, Titch is out this year. He's going to get a massive bump because Warple is one of those guys that the Hawks look to feed him the ball, to kick that ball inside 50. So he's going to be launching it inside 50, but as well, he's tackling pressure. He loves to lay the tackles, averaging 4 a game. Can kick goals. He'll be running through that midfield, so he's just an absolute beast, James Warpedo. So I'm really high on him, and so is everyone, I think, just not in the draft format, but also the salary cap format as well.
Absolutely. 138, he was picked up by Warney in the mock draft. Moving on to number 7, we finally get a Geelong player into this ranking. I tried to find a way to get him out, but hashtag he might be one of my boys because I've been talking about him for quite a while. He's given us 4 tons in his 29 games, therefore giving us a ton every 7.3 games. He's got some high scoring potential. He's actually given us 120 plus game as well. So he's shown there is a ceiling there. Obviously the pure midfield time is going to be the question for quite a while, but of course there's no other man that we're talking about is Golf Run.
Yes, Brandon Partiff. 4 tons, all of them last year as well, and that huge 138 versus the Saints early in the year. With the call for Gary now sort of coming out saying he will definitely spend more time up forward this year, he should probably be the massive beneficiary there. There's lots of guys talked about, but Partiff is the one that has shown the potential to already go in there in his second year. That was just massive to be able to put out some... He was pumping some big scores early. And I think you always say that about the second-year statesman, that you tend to tail off in the back half with the fitness, needing that third year, and this is the third year. So, yeah, pretty keen on Brandon Parfitt this year. Interested to see where he goes in drafts. Where did you say he went in the mock? Did he go?
Yes, he certainly did. He went 117 to Cam. Finally got a good selection. Oh, Geelong player.
Oh, no surprises there.
Wow, of course.
That's right, a great Geelong selection. Brilliant.
Moving on to number six is the highest ranked ruck here. I don't think there's any surprise there. 13 games for 2 tons. So he's already shown us that he's got a ceiling. Career average of over 80 already in just his 13 games. But we've also heard the news of recent times, and I think everyone's changed their ranking thoughts on this man, knowing that Sandy Lands has got a calf. So, yeah, even though he's actually got two of them, he wasn't drafted in our mock, but probably should have been my last round pick if we knew the Sandy information prior, and would have been good value at pick 18. So, Sean Darcy, Fremantle Dockers.
Yeah, and I think one thing that you'd said maybe a couple of weeks ago, Statesman, was that this man reminded you of a certain individual who is absolutely crushing a ruck position at the moment, and that's Brody Grundy. And that to me, I mean, look, I generally don't take you seriously, but I already thought he was pretty good, and then that comment made me sort of push him over the edge. So for me, lock him in for 10 years and don't worry about a ruck.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll move on to the top five, and I think generally this is a massive top five. We'll start off at number five, being a GWS a superstar, I think, already. Averaged 91 as a forward in 2018. He moves to a mid-only, which is totally understandable. And with the moves that we've actually got and the changes of the GWS list, he is going to step up massively. He's going to be well and truly over that ton average. He's already given us 7 tons out of his 32 games, and one of those over 120. So he showed us his ceiling. It's Tim Taranto moving into his third year.
Yeah, that average of the 91, as you said, he's certainly going to go over the 100 this year. One of the big factors we saw this year is why he scored so well. Time on ground went from 73% to 83%. So if he's maintaining that as a pure mid this year, expect that to not only hit that 100 average, but absolutely smash it. Average the 20-odd possessions and the 6 tackles a game. So if he's playing inside mid, expect those numbers to continue and just enjoy the ride, because I know we wanted him as a forward, but as a pure mid, we've been seeing him going around that sixth round as your M4. I'd be happy as an M4 this year. And yeah, really love what Timmy Tarantino is going to do this year.
Absolutely. Pick a 68 by Stevie Fizz. So a great pick up there, and actually burnt me. I should have nabbed him a couple of picks earlier. Moving on to Doss's main boy. We don't need to give an introduction. He even wrote a song about this man from the Gold Coast. He's only played 24 games, but he has given us 10 tons. 10 tons. That's a ton every 2.4 games. Really, there's just a couple of things holding him back from not getting higher, and that's just consistent games, to be fair, and his overall average, which does mean he's been a little bit inconsistent. But your boy, Doss, please talk about him.
Oh, I can't wait to as well. And he was coming into his own last year before he got injured. So he got injured in round 6. He'd had 2 tons in a row, 100, then 114. He was on 76. And I actually went to the game where he didn't play after that for a number of weeks. And I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I just love the fact that he is a ball winner that has a defensive game about him. He will tackle if he's put on the inside, which often, unfortunately, he's been used on a wing. And even in that Adelaide game, he actually moved to a half back for a bit, which I thought was very interesting. But if he plays that in the midfield inside, he can tackle. He runs out and gets an immense amount of uncontested possessions, which is why we love McRae so much. He can get the inside and the outside. Pushes, spreads, just racks up the pill. And we've seen every time, every year he plays, he manages to put up big numbers. And they're talking about him. He's in the leadership sort of potential up at the Gold Coast. he's just obviously got a really great attitude. Stewie Jew loves him. I'm just hoping he gets the role that we want him to get, which is, it is a question mark. There's, we don't know what the hell they're going to do at Gold Coast this year. So preseason watch, but in terms of keeper, gee, he's one of your, obviously he comes at fourth in your data. So he's very well in the keeper consideration for everyone.
And beautiful. Moving on to number three, no doubt one of Jono's boys at the Bulldogs in Josh Dunkley. He's played the 38 games. We know the end of season he had. In his 38 games, he's given us 14 tons, two of those over 120. Although there's not a lot of improvement on the second half of the year, it's certainly got a lot of fans excited if he remains with his forward status and becomes a full-time mid, because he is going to be massive in 2019 if that's the case.
So there's probably two things that I'm maybe a little bit, I'm quite excited about with him. So the first is that the discrepancy between McLean and Dunkley, when Dunkley was in the midfield, the Bulldogs performed better, which was always a good sign, including in round 23 where they almost beat Richmond. They lost by 3 points, right? So that's a semi-finalist that they've almost beat. It's a good sign. And then the second thing is that Bulldogs mids always seem to flip-flop between forward mid and dual position over their career. So we see Jack McRae has done it. We see Mitch Wallace continue to do it. We see Dunkley. I think there's going to be... He will go probably mid-forward for the next couple of years, which is brilliant for your keeper, and he's probably only going to play midfield.
Well, that McRae one was just a load of bullshit by champion data on that for a bloke who only kicked 2 goals in his whole career, so how you get forward status off that, I don't know, but I do agree with the other ones.
Fair enough. Moving on to number two, and we do have a defender here, and as soon as I say that, everyone knows who is number two. We're talking at Alex Witherden. He's played 29 games. He's given us 6 tons, but quite incredibly, 4 of those over 120. So this is a man who can find the pill. We're all expecting as well. So this is not part of that positional stuff or part of the formula. We're also expecting a bump for him getting extra points for kicking out as well. So Alex Witherden sitting at number two.
Yeah, not only does he find the pill, but the Lions players want to give him the ball because he is so silky with his disposal. And when he was drafted, they likened him to Brendan Goddard. And we all know how Brendan Goddard scored when he was playing in defence at St Kilda. So if we can expect something like that, then he's going to be a massive fantasy scorer for the next 10, 15 years at the Brisbane Lions. And there was an article over the pre-season where he got a running coach, where this running coach is helping him give more explosive running power so he can go past his opponent and get the 1-2 handball receive. So there's more possessions coming right there for Alex Witherden this year, we hope.
Absolutely we do. Now, I need to close off. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised who number one is, but there's a major reason why he's so clearly number one. He's played 56 games. He scored 23 tons. So we're almost talking twice as many as anyone else at the same age group. He's also scored 11 scores of 120 plus. So put that in perspective. Every second game, he's going to give you a ton. And this is early in his career. And then every fifth game, he's going to give you a score of 120. So there's a bit of talk of how much his captain playing is actually going to affect his score. That's a small sample. This man is a jet, and he's also now already the best midfielder at his club. This is Clayton Oliver of Melbourne. So far ahead when it comes to this formula. He is clearly the best AFL fantasy player under 22 right now.
Nothing to add. He's an absolute gun. The only concern going into this year is the two shoulders, but I mean, you're going to hold him for the next 10 years and have a, you know, I liken him a little bit to Pendlebury in regards to the style of football he played in his early years. And I think you'll see that he's going to be a consistently dependable midfielder for your side going for the next 10. Brilliant.
He's a gun. And it was all due to that, the early days, just he wasn't that fit in his first year. Since he got fit, he just runs all day, gets it. And also last year, he actually upped his the kick to handball ratio. It's still quite skewed, but he still even managed to up his kick to handball ratio, which was one of the major knocks against his game. Also managed to hit the scoreboard a bit better. So he's just improving year upon year, and you know, who knows what he can do next. Hopefully the shoulder, double shoulder reco doesn't do too much to hinder his game going forward, and we might see him with some Daniel Kerr, Chris Judd like shoulder strapping going on, but hopefully he can just continue to rack it up.
Absolutely, and well picked up those number one and two by Warnie at 18 and 23 respectively. So great pickups in the mock draft for them, and that's my part of it done, Doss.
All right, well, was there any players clearly missing that anyone noted? I had one that I sort of noticed that I guess by the formulas probably wouldn't have got in there, but I think Steve would, it'd be remiss of me because Steve would probably have a go if I didn't mention his name, and that's Braden Sire, not spotted in the top 25, and I'd be very hot on him in a keeper league. What do you reckon there, Statesman?
Yeah, he just didn't fit in with the formula. He was one of about 15 that I went through all the data as well, and yeah, just wasn't up to it with all the information, unfortunately. I think there's also that other position with him in, does Dane Beams actually just slow his growth a little bit? I think he was a top age boy too, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think he might be 97 born. I'll have to double check that, but
yeah,
so,
97.
Yeah, so therefore he's not going to make this list. It doesn't mean he doesn't become a really good min and really good effective one, but I think he needs to wait till a few careers have moved over before he gets the real opportunity.
No worries. Was there anyone else? I'll just go through a quick few names. I think you've mentioned why they wouldn't be in there due to the formula, but I just want to say a few other guys that came up in my list, but this was more, my list was a lot more based on gut feel than yours there, Statesman. But I had a few other names in there. So Adam Chera was one. There's a lot of buzz about him now going into the midfield, much like Andrew Brayshaw. Paddy Dow, I still have faith in. He didn't do a whole heap in his first year, but he sort of snuck in a very late spot for me there. Sam Walsh, just because of the junior numbers I had in there as well, but there's no data on that, so that's fair enough. Zach Fisher was one I kind of like him going forward. So he snuck in for me. And then I was surprised you didn't manage to manipulate your formula there, Statesman, a bit to squeeze in your boy, Harry Perryman. Is he not your boy there?
Yeah, he absolutely is. And I think he's got some major potential this year, but there's no data to support him being right up there in the keeper stats at the moment. So there's actually only 25 you can fit into 25, DOS. So I don't know if you've ever done that maths before. But if you're going to sneak in your boy Bailey Williams, then unfortunately there's going to be others that miss out. But look, there isn't just Harry Perriman's never scored a ton. So you haven't got that data to say, hey, it's capable. In the, if we work on his NEFL stats, he's going to look like a superstar. But that's why I don't work on TAC Cup, National Championships, or NEFL, because they're not proven data.
Another, just the final one to mention here that I think a lot of people are hot on this year, and I was surprised he snuck into the age group, actually, was the forward eligible this year, Will Setterfield. I believe he's 97 born, but he obviously clearly wouldn't come into calculations for your data, but I mean, going forward, potentially could be a solid option there. But I think we'll move on to some listener questions. But before we do that, a reminder to check out the mock draft simulator on the Draft Doctors website. Practice your drafting skills against our powerful draft engine. Choose your parameters, whether it's 6 all the way up to 18 teams, AFL Fantasy, Supercoach, Ultimate Footy, anything you like. Sign up now for only $9. And you can get unlimited drafts every day, download ADPs, as well as you draft using the Draft Doctor's official ranks. Check it out at mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au and get drafting today. We've also got a fair bit going on now at the Draft Doctor's website at the moment. Jono, the rankings are up on the site now.
Yeah, so just over the weekend, we've dropped our AFL Fantasy Dream Team ranks. They are on the website now, which is thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check them out there for your viewing pleasure. And a new feature this year that we've put in is you can actually search a player. Say it's Luke Parker in the midfield. His name will come up and it'll just isolate his name only. So you can see who myself, Cam, Statesman and Steve, where we've selected him. And it's also got the combined average on the sides there as well of how we've all selected as well. So, yes, Cam.
And DOS's ranks haven't been included because what we've just talked about would completely influence
Fear Anyone, you know, Bailey Williams mids. Too. It's just, yeah, it'll just wreck the whole system. Rubbish. That's why we don't let him on the mock side then, because he just wrecks the averages.
I'm a little bit excited as well. We've got our fantasy profiles dropping for every team in the lead up to the launch of the AFL season, with ST Porter back on board dropping Carlton tomorrow. And check out Adelaide and Brisbane Lions already on the site.
All right, sweet. Let's get to some listener questions now. And they're all keeper related, so we'll get some keeper questions coming through. This first one comes from King Kong Donkey. Keeper query, Supercoach format. Two on-field rucks, eight keepers on 30-man list. My best ruck is Witts, who has an ADP between 100 and 120. Am I a clown for going in without a ruck and keeping someone like Gunston instead? Our draft day essentially starts at pick 81. Some Muppets have two rucks. Does anyone have thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I certainly do. Obviously, rates himself. He calls him King Kong Donkey. But I will say, yes, you would be a clown if you go in without a ruck, because your ADP will be affected by the majority of leagues actually only being a one ruck on the field. So Jono will understand Supercoach more than I do, but I think straight away that you should be keeping Jared Witts well ahead of Gunston, to be honest, and you should probably be prepared on a two ruck on field structure to be seriously looking at picking up your second ruck pretty early in your redraft section, Jono.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Witts and Gunston average similar to each other in 2018, but with Tommy Mitchell out of that team, who was one of the main people launching that ball inside 50, we are expecting a minor drop-off for Jack Gunston. So, and Witts, we know he's just a top five, even top 10 ruckman, so I'll be looking to keep with him. And yeah, look, there's a lot of great value at the end of your draft for valued ruckman. I mean, we did the mock draft, and I grabbed Big Boy McAvoy in round 16, and Statesman, you grabbed, I think, Callum Sinclair and with pick 18 or so. And with the Sandy news as well, if they don't own them, grab Sean Darcy.
Absolutely.
All right, Bags asks, who do you pick, Chera or Brayshaw? And in a keeper league start of season top-up draft, how early would you pick either? 12-team, 26 players, keep 13, 5 defenders, 7 mids, 1 ruck, 5 forwards, 4 emergency, 4 bench. But I think we sort of covered the first part of that question maybe in your list here. Statesman, when you're doing your own keeper stuff, I know you've got this list here. Would you actually tend to rate a little bit of gut feel into this list when you're actually in a situation where you do have to make a trade? Or are you just going fully following this formula and following this data?
I try to use the data as a guide, but I use an example when we're talking the difference between a defender and a mid. You picked up Andrew Brayshaw. I know it was a redraft, not a keeper. That is two completely different things at 177. But Callum Mills, who doesn't really have that much data more impressive than Andrew Brayshaw, but he is a defender, I went as early as pick 71. So I look at this right now, by any stretch of the imagination, Callum Mills isn't part of that top-end defender list on the raw data, but I'd quite happily snapple him up nice and early. So I use this data as a guide, but if I'm really strong on someone, I'll go early enough to make sure I get them.
All right, so that's covered off there. Dan asks, in a startup keeper league, how early would you take Taranto and Witherden? Both are very young and have many years of great scoring ahead of them. Don't want to go too early on them, but would be great to get them in my team. What do you guys think? Taranto and Witherden, how early are they going? They're going to be going pretty early here, aren't they?
Yes, Witherden first, reflective of number two on this list. But also, he has the potential of being a top six defender. I think he's probably ticked that in the box already. Tim Taranto, I don't think will be in the top eight midfielders. But I don't think he's going to be too far away. I'm looking probably 105 average for him and probably a 95 to 100 for Witherden. So I'll go Witherden second, third round and Taranto fourth, fifth or sixth round.
Who suffers the most from Gibbons' arrival? So Gibbons getting signed by Carlton officially as a rookie the other day. Can we expect a Jagger O'Meara sort of debut year from Walsh?
Well,
anyone got any strong takes
if you're
there?
If you playing fantasy VFL drafts, pick up Matt Kennedy because he will be the one.
Ooh. Yeah, sorry, with the answer to Walsh, I think he's going to be like a McGrath year one. So I'm expecting him to be, you know, around that sort of 70 average, which would be pretty impressive. If his junior form relates to anything, he's going to be very good. But let's see if it happens first.
Yeah, definitely. This one comes from 5 question marks. Teams with potential openings in their best 22. I mean, that's a pretty broad question there, but does anyone have any real strong takes there, Cam?
Gold Coast. Just, I mean, if you're going to, basically, positions that are vacant, you'd look for any team from the bottom, probably 4 sides, because if you're going into the season with the same list, doing the same things, you're probably going to score pretty terribly from a team perspective. I'd look for those places and maybe the people that are in the twos, so they're feeder clubs, to find those gems that are going to go into the teams this year.
And I think you've also got a situation where you've got a pretty massive big hole in Geelong with the loss of George Hall and Smith.
I don't know if we can fill it. I don't know. We did get Luke Dalhouse though. I think we filled it.
On that note, thanks very much for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors podcast. Be sure to check out the website for the mock draft simulator, of course. Check that out. Start drafting. Pay the cheeky $9 if you want. Also, check out the rankings that are up and every few days, those draft profiles for the teams that Cam's so eager to get out in the world. They are awesome as well. All right, see you next week.
Who's the boy that can laugh at a storm cloud, turn a frown into a smile for free? Who's the kid with a heart full of magic? Everyone knows it's Stretchman.
That's me.
Who's the boy with eyes full of wonder who thinks being yourself is the best thing to be? Who's that rascal with the tweezers in his pocket? Everyone knows it's Stretchman.
That's me.